Hey, this is one of the videos that was highly requested, I guess, in the comment section. My only reason why I know that is because my camera guy told me so. He said that you guys want to hear some stories because him and I used to be in Afghanistan together for...
And Iraq.
Yeah, we were in both, actually, matter of fact. And we actually just told a story out inside of the kitchen, and it made me start tearing up because it was so funny. Because it's one of those kind of things that I forgot about. It's kind of one of those situations where you forget about the stories and you just never talk about them.
It's like the untold stories of the military.
Yeah, it's just super, super random. Yeah. It's not even a combat. Well, it's kind of combat related in a certain sense, just what had happened
later. It is, before, after. In a way.
So I'm going to give you guys kind of a precursor and get of an idea exactly this scenario or situation we found ourselves in. We were in... We were in Paktika province,
yep,
in Afghanistan.
Johnny Kill.
So we were there in 2012. Now, 2012 in Afghanistan was a fairly bloody year as a whole. It really was.
Yep.
I don't know if a lot of people know that or not, but it really was, depending on what you were doing. You could have been sitting back on a big-ass base drinking green bean coffee or whatever and not doing anything, which a lot of people in the military did, which is not a big deal. Everybody chooses their
vets
job.
And Subway.
Yeah, they get it. They got, yep, Subway and everything.
Hey, I'm not going to lie. I took time in Iraq, and I went to Balad, and I grilled steaks next to a pool. Thank you, Saddam.
I didn't know if he's
down there.
But what I'm saying is everybody chooses their path a little bit different. We were out there in I guess we really didn't choose this path. It was kind of given to us. Kind of. I guess we could have taken the easy route.
We could have taken the easy route because they actually offered us the easy route, and I was like, no, somebody's got to go, so it's going to be us.
I remember that. We actually had 3 to 4 months left.
Because we had a shitty first half.
We had 4 months. Yeah, that's right. We had 4 months left, and they were like, we're going to set up a new camp in Paktika province, and we want to put... Now, we were fairly experienced at that time when it came to just being in stuff, so they sent us out there. Doesn't really matter. By the way, I'm going to throw a little precursor out there. I forgot about this. I remember sitting in the NCO meeting. It was myself and him and another gentleman. We were getting kind of like this was back on when we first landed, and we didn't exactly know what our mission was. This is just giving you guys an idea of where we were at. And they said that no U.S. president had been down there for 3 years.
Yeah, so what happened was...
And I recall looking at Benji, and he looked at me and was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, so I, like, originally after we got told where we were going, I went to the S2 shop, like the Intel shop, and I was like, tell me everything you know about this district. And they looked at the map, and then they looked back at me. They started typing some shit into computers and going back over it. And then I looked up the map, and there's a little slice of the pie up on the north, south, east, west, up on the north.
So funny you have to do that.
Yeah, I know. All the time I spend on point. Yeah, so up in the northwest corner is a little slice of the pie, like about yay big, and it was marked off as dead space, which is annotated by a red section with red lines going across it, meaning that we didn't know jack and shit about it. It was dead space. We didn't know what was there. Why? Because nobody had been there in years. What I got told by S2 was an entire brigade from the 82nd Airborne had gotten online and tried to push across that place. And they were unsuccessful, and that's where we were.
I knew there was one base. It was one of the areas where one of the bases had been overran in the past, and we actually passed it on the way down there.
In fact, yep.
And it had giant RPG holes in the side of it, and it was just totally, absolutely just jacked up.
And that was the first spot.
We went way past that, way south.
Well, it was funny in the meantime, too. Like, after we went back, this is just kind of the ass, if you will.
I'm sitting here, I was like,
went back to the file, I remember Benji was walking around. And somebody was like riding me over like how Benji was looking. And I was like, damn it, Benji. So I tried correcting him. I was like, if I don't get these boys doing something, they're just going to get paid
up. Right. I remember that.
And so like I sent like half the squad like off into like the northeast and some random place just to preoccupy people while I prep for the next mission. Yep.
Well, I remember driving down there and route clearance actually did their job about 2 weeks prior for us coming down. And they actually drove over and they got blown up significantly.
The entire route, are we talking about Paktika now?
Yeah, you drive down there.
The entire route on the way into Paktika was blown out.
Every single culvert, every single minor bridge, they're basically just culverts. They're not bridges, but oh my God.
The whole thing was just blown
up. It was destroyed. And I remember driving down there, and the crazy part is we were so short-handed. And what I mean short-handed, we had a total of, I believe, 22 people in total inside of our camp, inside this area. It was very tiny. I believe it was 22. I don't know why the number stuck with me. Does that sound right?
Yeah. Somewhere around 20.
I think it was about somewhere around 20 people. This is how small Afghans, a group we're working, working with. Very tiny. And we're so short staffed that I was an E5 driving a truck with an E6 to my right and then E5 and the turret. Like, we literally had a truck of NCOs driving down there. Yeah. And I do recall this.
Yeah. And it was literally socks, T-shirts, frags, yes, and mags.
I mean, he asked me, what do we bring? We brought a bag, like a rucksack, full of literally socks, T-shirts, extra ammo, and extra ammo. That was literally it.
Yeah.
I could tell you the amount of times we went black on ammo in that area. Anyway, I don't know why we're going to... I'm just giving you guys kind of a precursor of the area. So, fast forward, tons of firefights later, and whatever. We're talking about this one story, because if you guys do enjoy the stories, please let me know. If you guys listen through your earpieces, we're on YouTube, and you can see it, but let me in the comment section. I'm going to let you tell the story of the time. This is one I've never talked about. It's not one that I've even remembered.
No, this is not a story that most... But this is the type of shit that happens in the military.
It's in the military. So,
yeah,
I was an E5. He was an E6. He just became promotable, so he's about to be an E7. I'm starting to think about it again. It makes me laugh. Well, and we've been in country now for 8 months, 7.5 months, 7 months,
seven months. Yeah.
And we're about to figure out how we're going to get back. And they're apparently, we have no idea. We're running on a camp that has no showers, no nothing at this point. Like, there's no power really. We just have a generator.
It is so bad that we used to like take pisses and shit outside the wall, but we got tired of getting shot at, and it was risky. So we just started pooping inside the compound.
So yeah,
it just sucked.
It was pretty bad, but I look back on it, it made me who I am today, and it really makes you a better person.
Right.
But with that being said,
we couldn't get. Let me prep the story a little bit more. I'll just dive into it. Let me prep it a little bit more. It was so bad that we couldn't get aerial resupply, and that's how we got most of our stuff on that trip, and on my last one as well. We got a lot of aerial resupplies. Yeah. Being an airplane would fly over, kick a bunch of shit out of the back, and it would fall down on parachutes, and you go pick it up, and that's how we'd get our stuff. It was so bad that we couldn't do that because they had surface air missiles, so we couldn't even get aerial resupply. Helicopter support had to be like armed gunships. Like, it just sucked.
Yeah.
And...
It was fun, though.
It was a hell of a lot of fun. Best days of my life, right? And so we would go out, we would knock that out, and we'd come back. And we went out one day. We got in a gunfight, and then we come back on the FOB. Or not the FOB. We come back on the camp. Not even close.
Are you kidding me?
We come back on the camp. We come back on our camp. And we had, like, a little container unit that had our computers and all that other stuff.
What do we mean,
that
was container? Right off a generator. We're literally talking a 20-foot Connex.
Yeah, like smaller, smaller than this room. It's like that hallway going.
It's a container.
Yeah, it's a container. So, yeah. So anyways, all the computers and everything were powered up. So I decided that I'm going to go over and I'm going to check my emails. So I get on there and I check my emails. And I'm like, oh, I missed a bunch. Well, one of the emails was from our boss that was saying the battalion commander wants to know this information. I opened up an Excel spreadsheet along with like an attachment, and it was like, we need to know what you guys are going to be doing for the first 96 hours you get back from this deployment. Like, I want to know from the day you touch ground what you're going to be doing for the first 96 hours while you guys are on pass. Not on leave, but on pass. You get down, you get 96 hours to decompress. They want to know what I'm going to be doing when I get home in 4 to 6 weeks, and I don't even know how the hell I'm getting my guys out of this area. And that's not a joke when I say that.
No.
We had no idea who was replacing us. How were they going to get out there? Because they couldn't fly. They didn't have, like, enough vehicles to, like, get them, like, to do a ground assault out. Like, nothing. We had no idea how these folks were getting out there. None. And yet they expect us to know what the hell we're going to do when we get back. So I'm starving. I'm thirsty. I'm a little pissed off because I've been in a gunfight. What you doing over there?
Sorry. I was actually trying to put this up. Just
oh yeah, do it, just, do it to it.
No, these are the people on Uncut. So go ahead.
Yeah,
they get to hear this.
Oh yeah.
You got the okay.
That's
keep going.
Fine. I'm doing mine. You do yours. Yeah. So 96 hours. They want to know. We have no idea how the hell we're going to get home, but they want to know. They want us to tell what we're going to do. So I get a little bit pissed off. Well, in walks Rob, and he's like, "Hey, bro, what are you doing?" I'm like, "Dude, you got to check this shit out, man." So I show it to him, and he's like, "Are they serious? Like, they've got to be kidding." Like, there's no way. Like, how the hell are we supposed to know? I was like, I'm going to tell you exactly what I'm going to do when I get home. I was like, I'm going to have, because at the time I was married, I was like, I'm going to have sex with my wife. I'm going to sit on the porch and I'm going to people watch. That's what I wrote down. This like verbatim what I wrote down on this Excel spreadsheet. I'm not sure what you wrote. Do you remember?
I do.
Because like he wrote something good down and I was like, he actually wrote something legitimate down. And then I was like, no, kiss my ass. Like, no. I told him I was literally writing down what you do.
Copious amounts of I was about to make a joke. It's like I was going to do copious amounts of cocaine. I was going to drink copious amounts of Coors Lights, and have sexual intercourse. That was like the main, that was the main joke of our entire.
We're all going to have sex. And then our medic, Mike, I remember specifically what I wrote down, because some of my soldiers were like, Matt, I'm not writing that down. I was like, kiss my ass. I'll write it in for you. I start writing all these smart ass answers. And then Mike came in like our medic. And I was like, yo, Mike, like, what are you going to do when you get home? He's like, I don't know, man. Bang my wife. I was like, perfect. I was like, and he was like, well, don't put it that way. Put it this way. So Mike ends up writing down. He's like, I'm going to play with my wife and then in parentheses sexually. And I'm going to play with my children in parentheses non-sexually. Up writing that down. So we take this and we send it up, right? Like, I don't think about it. I just hit send and I walk away. I'm just like, done with this. Have a nice day. Send. Done. Right? And we go about our daily lives. For probably like a week and a half. Probably like 7 to 10 days goes by. Same scenario though. Like, we're out for the day, doing our thing, come back. And I'm like, haven't checked emails. Should probably get on there and check emails. Cause I try to do it about like once a week, like for pertinent, you know? And I get in there and I open up these emails and like right away, it's like, Matt, you have been relieved. I'm like, this is bullshit. So I pick up the phone and I start calling back and I start arguing. And then I hear the entire scenario, like how it actually went down.
So right? I want you guys to realize this. We're in the middle of fucking nowhere. We're literally in the middle of nowhere. I'm in E5. He's in E6. He's in charge. He's the guy who's in charge of everybody. And this son sent an email up the chain of command that was talking about us having sexual intercourse.
Which wasn't a lie.
It wasn't a lie, so they could get in trouble. But the reason why this gentleman got fucking relieved of duty in Afghanistan, no one knows about this. He got relieved of duty in Afghanistan, this guy right here.
Yep, because... So nobody screened this email after I sent it up.
They didn't screen the
you would have thought that the next person in the chain would have opened it up and be like, that's some smart ass shit, Matt. Maybe you should fix that, which I think is what I was counting on.
Yeah, like, oh, this is going to be a joke. They're going to send it and be like,
fix it. And I was going to fix it.
They forwarded this email up the chain of command in the military that no one read it or briefed.
Right. So every day over there, the battalion commander, he's got something called the commander's update brief. I figured this out because after I got relieved, I could put it as the jock NCO. So I was in charge of the Joint Operations Center. So every day the lieutenant colonel, like he's gets a briefing on everything that's happening on his troops, on what they're doing, where they're going. It's called a cub brief. They do it every morning. And so apparently this email just forwards all the way up to the battalion. And they end up being like, oh, hey, sir, Sergeant Tardio's information finally came in. And they take it and they just, boom, blast it up on this huge white screen in front of, like, all the company commanders, everybody out there, like, everybody. They blast this thing up on, like, the big white screen. And, like, half the people start laughing. Half of them are sitting there like, oh, this is bad, you know? And then before you know it, like, the BC just blows up. He's like, that's it. That son of a bitch, he's fucking relieved. And then before you know it, I come back off patrol, get an email. I'm like, I'm relieved. You know,
in Afghanistan.
The best part of this whole thing is I go down like right afterwards, like I exit that little like container unit and I walk over to the tent and like Rob's sitting there in his chair, like, you know, like picking his nose or whatever, changing his socks. And I sit down on the cot next to him and I'm like trying to be quiet about this. I'm like, hey, man. So
I'm sitting there. I'm like, I don't.
I'm like, hey, bro, you're in charge. He's like, you're with me. I was like, no. I just got relieved. He's like, no, you didn't. Like, yeah, I did. No, really. Like, you can go read the email, bro. Like, I'm dead serious. Like, you're in charge. Like, I guess I got to pick some, but like, you're 2IC. You're in charge now, bro. And he's like, this can't be real.
That's true. I got stuck in charge of the
guys.
And
he's like, I don't want to, Matt, I'm not dealing with that right now.
I'm going to be stuck with these shitheads in the middle of nowhere by myself.
And no sooner the moment that I told him this happened, no sooner the moment that I told him I got relieved, they start shooting at us. And he just looks at me and everybody in the tent, like everybody in the tent overheard it. And they're all just like paused and everybody just sat there. And I'm like, no, Rob, you tell me. Like, you tell me what we're doing, because it ain't going to be me.
What the fuck do we do? Let's go outside and shoot at these motherfuckers. I tell you, like that was like the worst time of my life. Like at the time, it was the worst time. But you look back, and it was like it was the best time. Like I don't really talk to any of the guys anymore, really, other than you and maybe Benji. I don't really talk to any of them. No. But looking back,
I still talk to Mike.
It was it was literally like the shittiest time of my life, but the fucking best.
The best.
It was like the best. You were the dirtiest. We hadn't showered for fucking months.
We had
stuck with these motherfuckers. In the middle of nowhere,
we had those 5 gallon water cans because we didn't want to waste water. Yeah, because if we wasted water, we had to go back and get more.
It was,
but eventually we had turned that pump on, we had that pump in order to get the water. And so we started filling up those 5 gallon jugs with water, and then we climb up on the tower
and pour water,
and then we dump that piece of plywood down, and you would just sit there, and somebody would stand on the tower and pour water on you, and you'd be like, oh,
so instead of like the water hitting on you, it was great.
It was so cold,
it was cold, and they had to put bleach inside the water because they were scared of parasites making us sick. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, we haven't showered in months, and you're worried about this water we're pulling out of the
everybody had falling off there. Like, yeah, everybody's feet were being
I was so fucking dirty. I could take my skin and roll it like right. this, and dirt would roll up right. on my skin. I'd be like, oh, I'm still white.
Right.
Like, oh, God. You know, it's like, yuck. I'm turning black in Afghanistan, guys. There's a problem here. Oh, it's because you haven't showered.
Do you remember seeing the rain clouds going past and being like, oh, God, please come this way.
Please, come this
rain,
way.
Oh, rain, please. Come on. And then you see it dump over off in the mountains or like, something. You'd be like, bullshit.
This
like,
is bullshit. I gotta sit in this fucking moon dust. It's every time you walk, by the way, there's this called moon dust. You step on this shit, and it went away after about a month or so being there, but you would step and it would fucking come up like this.
Yes.
So you wouldn't want to walk anywhere. You would step and it'd be like, bish,
yeah.
Bish, bish. It was like this fucking dust layer that's like this thick, and you'd step right. on it. Boom.
Yep. And what you like, do you remember
moon dust? This is such random shit. I never talk about this stuff ever. And this is the kind of story I've never even told.
Right. So like funny story. So I was taking a dump one time in Iraq. Remember we had KP5, like checkpoint 5. So we had this check, like
he's taking a shit in Iraq. Great. Here we go.
Yeah. We're going to tell poop stories now. It can't be a real combat story without poop.
You got to have
shit
stories.
Sure, you're going to throw in the comments. They're like, yeah, poop. It's real. So we had this checkpoint like outside Kirkuk.
Okay.
Right, that we had to like man to like there. Go in. Yeah. Well, I got to set the stage, bro. Like, come on now. So we had this checkpoint outside of like Kirkuk, and it was like screening all these vehicles. So we go out and we do like a couple days of patrol. Then our rest day was going back. We'd man the checkpoint, and then we'd go back to doing patrols. Like it was just this constant rotation of like FML, right? Like dirty infantry life sucks, whatever. And so I'm out at this checkpoint. I'm like taking a dump, right? Like we had these burn shitters over behind the checkpoint, away from the highway, and I'm sitting out back taking a dump. And I hear boom, boom. Oh, I'm sorry, it's COVID. You want me to put my mask on? Yeah. So these two rockets splashed down behind the burn. So I was like, that was definitely rocket fire. So like I pulled my radio and I was like, did anybody else hear rocket splash?
Because
I'm pretty sure two rockets just splashed.
I'm trying to take a shit. Can you handle
it? Nobody answers. Nobody says anything. I'm just like, all right. I go like, so I like wipe my butt and I look outside and there's still dust like floating around. I was like, well, they definitely shot rockets at us. I was like, but nobody else seems to care. So I shouldn't either. And so I get up and I start walking around. Right. Like, I'm like, I was going to go check on my people because they did just shoot rockets. Maybe it hit somebody, you know, like, I don't know. So I go, so I like do a status check, whatever. And I go, I start walking around checking on these other checkpoints. And I go up to like the North Vehicle Guard position. Right. And it was Keeley was in the turret.
Oh,
like,
you
remember that?
Yeah, he's
remember
over there.
That? Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, him. So Keeley's sitting in the turret, and I'm like, hey, bro, did you happen to hear any rockets or anything go past like a couple minutes ago? He's like, nah, Sergeant, nah, man. And he just like sits there smoking a cigarette, and I sit up on top of the turret, like smoking cigarettes with him. And then he just randomly, like, he's like, hey, man, I did see something weird a while ago. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, well, you know where the Adala police station's at? And
I saw some flashes.
I'm like, yeah, no. He's like, I think they were shooting fireworks. I was like, Keeley, describe to me these fireworks. Like, describe to me what these fireworks look like. And he's like, well, it was two bright flashes, and they were just like blue streams that shot straight up into the sky like bottle rockets. And I'm like, Keeley, that place is like two and a half clicks away. Like... And I just said over the radio that they were shooting rockets. Like, I'm pretty sure, like, they just shot rockets at us. You don't think that was pertinent information to tell me? Like, at the time I brought that, like, are you that stupid?
He was. Like,
he was an idiot.
He was a
special. He was an idiot.
Yeah, he was. Oh, God. Hey, I haven't. I don't know why. I've never told these stories. I've never had any, I guess. I don't know.
So
I bet
stupid.
You there's so many. I mean, I have a, I should do an entire podcast just on my stories in Afghanistan. Like the first time I actually received heavy contact, I didn't have anything with me, and I was taking a
with my GPS on.
Yeah,
you this, broke this, my GPS.
This is a true story. No one knows about this one either. I was taking a I'm gonna say this for a different one, but I'm telling you right now, that's it. It's a good. I didn't have a gun. Didn't have my helmet on. Didn't have my vest on. Didn't have nothing. I was taking a fat in the morning.
Squat.
And I received. They initiated contact on me. And this is a true story. No one knows about it. I mean, like, I'll save it.
My
we'll
favorite
it.
Part
no, we'll
is
save,
like my favorite part
save.
About that. I just gotta say this part, right? Like picture the dude on the other side of the PKM, right? And he's like, "There's a dude taking a dump. I'm gonna wait till he stops and pulls his pants down and like I'm gonna let the steam rise off the ground before I send the first round.
They fucking sent it. I was walking back, and I did. I got that one. Anyway, hey, I hope you guys enjoy this podcast over here. I do love you guys. We'll hit you with another one. I'm out.